The date is January 8th, 2024 of the Common Era, and the time is 20:03 hours Eastern Standard Time. Ward Green with you again today. Wonderful to see you. Technology these days is so incredible. It's expanding so rapidly. It's just going to shoot through the ceiling. There's no limit to what technology is going to be able to do in a very few years. And very important it is thus to not be too involved with it, because the world is changing too quickly. So we don't want to be buying a new car, for example, or a new gadget every time a new one is produced, or we don't want every great new thing just because it's the greatest of the crop of items that comes out right now. Doesn't mean it's going to continue that way, because things are changing so rapidly. So it's very important, as 1 Chronicles 7:31 says, to not be using the world to the full, because the scene of the world is changing. Now, our study today, little children, in the C Cubed article, The Crucible of Credible Creed, is chapter 4, paragraph 5. On his first meeting with Moses and his brother Aaron, the Pharaoh was told that Jehovah desired Israel to be allowed to leave to celebrate a festival to God in the wilderness. To this, Thutmose answered, this is because we've identified Thutmose the first as the Pharaoh of the Exodus. So he was the one in the genealogy, which is our chronology, at least it's Thutmose, who is the Pharaoh, who says, "Who is Jehovah?" So that I would obey to his voice to send Israel away. I do not know of Jehovah, and I do not intend to send Israel away. Thutmose was a military commander, and he would not easily allow that Pharaoh was not the most powerful ruler of all. When Moses and Aaron warned Thutmose of the consequences a failure to obey Jehovah could bring, severe things such as death or pestilence upon his people, Thutmose stated only, "Why do you, Moses and Aaron, want to stop the people from working? Go get back to work, every one of you." Pharaoh Thutmose did not understand that Jehovah possesses rightful authority over all things, that in this situation Jehovah was delivering his people from their hard slavery. Moses had asked Pharaoh to take the people of Israel away, to go on a journey of 3 days into the wilderness, so as to be able to make a festival and a sacrifice to Jehovah. These things are recorded in the Bible. See Exodus chapter 5. Verses 1 through 4. Pharaoh said, "Look, the people of the land are many, and you make them desist from bearing their burdens." How big a loss would it be for Thutmose to lose the labor force of a large crowd of Israelites by having them leave? So Pharaoh was rather incredulous, it seems, that Moses and Aaron were causing the people to be so excited about their being able to leave Egypt that, at least in the Pharaoh's mind, the people were slacking off and they weren't working as hard as they had before. That's the end of that part of our study for today, little children. We have a lot to read today in one of our chapters, Ecclesiastes 10, it's the proverb for today, chapter 10, verse 4, little ones. If the spirit of a ruler should mount up against you, do not leave your own place, for calmness itself allays great sins. That's all for that for today. Wait a minute, I don't need to go anywhere. I can use the history. To jump back to where we want to be. we are at, in the book of 1 Kings, the point of chapter 14. This is fascinating because we have Abijah, the son of Jeroboam. We have the prophet who we've seen before, Ahijah. And we have the son of Rehoboam at the end of the chapter, Abijam. So we have Abijah, Ahijah, and Abijam. So if that's not confusing, I don't know what would be. At that particular time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. So Jeroboam said to his wife, "Rise up, please, and you must disguise yourself that they may not know that you are the wife of Jeroboam, and you must go to Shiloh. Look, there is where Ahijah, the prophet, is. He is the one that spoke with reference to me as becoming king over this people. And you must take in your hand 10 loaves of bread and sprinkled cakes and a flask of honey, and you must come in to him. He it is that will certainly tell you what is going to happen to the boy." And the wife of Jeroboam proceeded to do so. Consequently, she rose up and went to Shiloh and came to the house of Ahijah. Now Ahijah himself was unable to see, for his eyes had set because of his age. And Jehovah himself had said to Ahijah, "Here is the wife of Jeroboam coming to apply for a word from you regarding her son, for he is sick. This way and that is how you should speak to her, and it will occur that as soon as she arrives, she will be making herself unrecognizable." And it came about that as soon as Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she was coming into the entrance, he began to say, "Come in, you wife of Jeroboam. Why is it that you are making yourself unrecognizable while I am being sent to you with a severe message? Go say to Jeroboam, 'This is what Jehovah, the God of Israel, has said. For the reason that I raised you up out of the middle of your people, that I might constitute you a leader over my people Israel, and I went on to rip the kingdom away from the house of David and give it to you, and you have not become like my servant David, who kept my commandments and who walked after me with all his heart by doing only what was right in my eyes, but you began to act worse than all those who happened to be prior to you, and you went and made for yourself another god and molten images to offend me, and it is I whom you have cast behind your back. For that reason, here I am bringing calamity upon the house of Jeroboam, and I shall certainly cut off from Jeroboam anyone urinating against a wall," referring to the males, "a helpless and worthless one in Israel, and I shall indeed make a clean sweep behind the house of Jeroboam, just as one clears away the dung until it is disposed of. The one dying of Jeroboam's in the city, the dogs will eat, and the one dying in the field, the fowls of the heavens will eat, because Jehovah himself has spoken it. And you yourself, rise up, go to your house. When your feet come into the city, the child will certainly die, and all Israel will indeed bewail him and bury him, because this one alone of Jeroboam's will come into a burial place, for the reason that something good toward Jehovah, the God of Israel, has been found in him, in the house of Jeroboam. And Jehovah will certainly raise up to himself a king over Israel, who will cut off the house of Jeroboam the said day. And what if right now? And Jehovah will indeed strike Israel down, just as the reed sways in the water." We know Samaria was destroyed in our chronology in 719 BCE. "And he will certainly uproot Israel off this good ground, Jehovah will, that he gave to their forefathers, and he will indeed scatter them beyond the river, the Euphrates River, for the reason that they made their sacred poles, so offending Jehovah. And he will give Israel up on account of the sins of Jeroboam, with which he sinned and with which he caused Israel to sin." At that, Jeroboam's wife rose up and went her way and came to Tirzah. As she was arriving at the threshold of the house, the boy himself died. So they buried him, and all Israel went wailing for him according to Jehovah's word that he had spoken by means of his servant Ahijah the prophet. So Ahijah was exactly correct about the fact that the son of Jeroboam was going to die. Even as the woman arrived home, the boy's mother arrived home. So that's how attuned Jehovah's prophets were to Jehovah's will and his spirit and how he did things. They knew what was going to happen even in advance. And the rest of the affairs of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned. Now, that doesn't mean the prophets were always correct either, or they did everything perfectly. And but the rest, let's continue reading, the rest of the affairs of Jeroboam, how he warred and how he reigned, there they are, written in the book of the affairs of the days of the kings of Israel. And the days that Jeroboam reigned were 22 years, after which he lay down with his forefathers, and Nadab, his son, began to reign in place of him. As for Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, he had become king in Judah. 41 years old Rehoboam was when he began to reign. So that tells us that Solomon must have been old enough to be married and have a child when he became king, because Solomon ruled for only 40 years, and his son was 41 when Solomon died, because that was when his son became king. Rehoboam became king at the age of 41, so Solomon had a son 1 year before Solomon became king. So he must have been old enough to be married and have a son, which tells us maybe Solomon, we think Solomon was in his late teens or maybe 20 when he took the throne, or maybe early 20s. We don't really know exactly when. And 17 years Rehoboam reigned in Jerusalem, the city that Jehovah had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonitess. And Judah went on doing what was bad in the eyes of Jehovah. Well, we know Israel was doing bad, and Judah was doing bad now, so that they incited him to jealousy more than all that their forefathers had done by their sins with which they sinned. And they, too, kept building for themselves high places and sacred pillars and sacred poles upon every high hill and under every luxuriant tree. And even the male temple prostitute proved to be in the land. They acted according to all the detestable things of the nations, whom Jehovah had driven out from before the sons of Israel. And it came about in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, the king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem. Here we have the record of Shoshank the First of Egypt, as most people identify Shishak, coming against Rehoboam in the fifth year of Rehoboam, and against Jerusalem. And Shishak got to take the treasures of the house of Jehovah, little children, and the treasures of the house of the king, and everything he took. He took all the valuables of the house of Jehovah and the house of the king, and he went on to take all the gold shields that Solomon had made. Consequently, King Rehoboam made in place of them copper shields, and he committed them to the control of the chiefs of the runners, the guards of the entrance of the king's house. And it would occur that as often as the king came to the house of Jehovah, the runners would carry them, and they returned them to the guard chamber of the runners. And the rest of the affairs of Rehoboam and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the affairs of the times of the kings of Judah? And warfare itself took place between Rehoboam and Jeroboam always. Finally, Rehoboam lay down with his forefathers and was buried with his forefathers in the city of David. And his mother's name was Naamah, the Ammonitess. And Abijam, his son, began to reign in place of him. So Abijah was the son of Jeroboam. Abijah was the son of Jeroboam, right? Abijam was the son of Rehoboam, and Ahijah was the prophet who prophesied with regard to Jeroboam. So there's a lot of confusion in the names there, potentially, if we're not alert to the names being so similar. Now we have a long reading from Ezekiel for today. I don't know if we're going to get through this. I hope so. And the word of Jehovah came further to me, saying, Son of man, make known to Jerusalem her detestable things. And you must say, this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said to Jerusalem. Your origin and your birth were from the land of the Canaanite, which is not necessarily true, but this is what Jehovah is saying in illustration. Your father was the Amorite and your mother was a Hittite. And as regards your birth, on the day of your being born, your navel string had not been cut, and in water you had not been washed for cleansing, and with salt you had not at all been rubbed. And by no means had you been swaddled No, I felt sorry for you to do one of these things in compassion upon you, but you were thrown upon the surface of the field because there was an abhorring of your soul in the day of your being born. And I came passing along by you and got to see you kicking about in your blood, and I proceeded to say to you in your blood, keep living. Yes, to say to you in your blood, keep living. A very big multitude, like the sprouting of the field, is what I made you, so that you would grow big and become great and come in with the finest ornament. The two breasts themselves were firmly developed, and your own hair grew luxuriantly when you had been naked and nude. And I came passing along by you, and I got to see you, and look, your time was the time for love's expressions. So I proceeded to spread my skirt over you and to cover your nudeness and to make a sworn statement to you and enter into a covenant with you, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. And so you became mine. Furthermore, I washed you with water and rinsed away your blood from off you and greased you with oil. And I went on to clothe you with an embroidered garment and to shoe you with sealskin and to wrap you in fine linen and to cover you with costly material. And I went on to deck you with ornaments and to put bracelets upon your hands and a necklace about your throat. Furthermore, I put a nose ring in your nostril and earrings on your ears and a beautiful crown on your head, and you kept decking yourself with gold and silver, and your attire was fine linen and costly material and an embroidered garment. Fine flour and honey and oil were what you ate, and you grew to be very, very pretty, and gradually you became fit for royal position. And for you, a name began to go forth among the nations because of your prettiness. For it was perfect because of my splendor that I placed upon you, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. But you began to trust in your prettiness and become a prostitute on account of your name, and to pour out your acts of prostitution on every passerby. His it came to be, and you proceeded to take some of your garments and make for yourself high places of varied colors, and you would prostitute yourself on them. Such things are not coming in, and it should not happen. And you would take your beautiful articles from my gold and from my silver that I had given to you, and you would make for yourself images of a male and prostitute yourself with them. And you would take your embroidered garments and cover them. And my oil and my incense you would actually put before them. And my bread that I had given to you, fine flour and oil and honey that I had had you eat, you also actually put it before them as a restful odor, and it continued to occur as the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. And you would take your sons and your daughters whom you had born to me, and you would sacrifice these to them to be devoured. Is that not enough of your acts of prostitution? And you would slaughter my sons, and by making them pass through the fire, you would give these to them. And in all your detestable things and your acts of prostitution, you did not remember the days of your youth when you happened to be naked and nude, kicking about in your blood you happened to be. So it came about after all your badness, woe, woe to you, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, that you went building for yourself a mound and making for yourself a height in every public square. At every head of the way you built your height, and you began to make your prettiness something detestable, and sprawl out your feet to every passerby and multiply your acts of prostitution. And you went prostituting yourself to the sons of Egypt, your neighbors great of flesh. You're evidently referring to the genital organ here in the footnote. And you continued making your prostitution abound in order to offend me. And look, I shall certainly stretch out my hand against you, and I shall diminish your allowance and give you to the soulful desire of the women hating you, the daughters of the Philistines, the women humiliated on account of your way as regards loose conduct. And you went on to prostitute yourself to the sons of Assyria, because there was no satisfying of you. And you kept prostituting yourself with them, and also did not get satisfaction. Assyria was the nation that eventually conquered Samaria in BCE 719 in the genealogy. So you kept making your prostitution abound toward the land of Canaan, toward the Chaldeans, And even in this you did not get satisfaction. Oh, how I am filled up with rage against you, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. By your doing all these things, the work of a woman, a domineering prostitute. When you built your mound at the head of every way, and you made your own height in every public square, yet you became unlike a prostitute in disdaining hire. In the case of the wife that commits adultery, she takes strangers instead of her own husband. To all prostitutes, they are accustomed to give a present, but you've given your presents to all those passionately loving you, and you offer a bribe to them to come into you from all around in your acts of prostitution. And in your case, the opposite thing takes place from that of other women in your acts of prostitution, and after your style, no prostitution has been committed, even in your giving hire, when no hire has been given to you. And so it occurs in the opposite way. Therefore, O prostitute, hear the word of Jehovah. This is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. For the reason that your lustfulness has been poured out and your private parts are uncovered in your acts of prostitution toward those passionately loving you and toward all your detestable dungy idols, even with the blood of your sons whom you gave to them. Therefore, here I am collecting together all those passionately loving you toward whom you were pleasurable, and all those whom you loved along with all those whom you hated, and I will collect them together against you from all around and uncover your private parts to them, and they must see all your private parts, and I will judge you with the judgments of adulteresses and women shedding blood, and I will give you the blood of rage and jealousy, and I will give you into their hand, and they will certainly tear down your mound, and your heights will certainly be pulled down, and they must strip you of your garments and take your beautiful articles and leave you behind naked and nude. And they must bring up against you a congregation and pelt you with stones and slaughter you with their swords. And they must burn your houses with fire and execute in you acts of judgment before the eyes of many women. And I will cause you to cease from being a prostitute, and also no more hire will you give. And I will bring my rage to its rest in you, and my jealousy must turn away from you, and I will stay quiet, and I shall no more feel offended. For the reason that you did not remember the days of your youth, and you would cause me agitation because of all these things, even here, I also, for my part, will put your own way upon your very head, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, and you will certainly not carry on any loose conduct alongside all your detestable things. Look, everyone using a proverb against you will use the proverb saying, like mother is her daughter. You are the daughter of your mother, one abhorring her husband and her sons. And you are the sister of your sisters who abhorred their husbands and their sons. The mother of you women was a Hittite, and your father was an Amorite. Again, Jehovah's exaggerating here. And your older sister is Samaria herself, with her dependent towns, who is dwelling on your left, and your sister younger than you, who is dwelling on your right, is Sodom, with her dependent towns. Of course, when the Israelites did intermarry with the people of the nations, then these things were literally true, that their families were actually from the people of the nations. And who is dwelling on your left, Samaria, with her dependent towns, your sister younger than you, also, who is dwelling on your right, is Sodom, with her dependent towns. And it was not in their ways that you walked, nor according to their detestable things that you did. In a very little while, you even began to act more ruinously than they did, in all their ways, in all your ways. As I am alive, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah, Sodom, your sister, she with her dependent towns, has not done according to what you did, you and your dependent towns. Look, this is what proved to be the error of Sodom, your sister. Pride, sufficiency of bread, and the carefreeness of keeping undisturbed were what happened to belong to her and her dependent towns, and the hand of the afflicted one and the poor one she did not strengthen, and they continued to be haughty and to carry on a detestable thing before me, and I finally removed them just as I saw fit. And as for Samaria, she has not sinned even up to half of your sins, but you kept making your detestable things abound more than they did, so that you made your sisters appear righteous because of all your detestable things that you carried on. You also bear your humiliation when you must argue in favor of your sisters because of your sins in which you acted more detestably than they did. They are more righteous than you. And you also be ashamed and bear your humiliation in that you make your sisters appear righteous. And I will gather their captive ones, the captive ones of Sodom and of her dependent towns, and the captive ones of Samaria and of her dependent towns. I will also gather your captive ones in the midst of them, in order that you may bear your humiliation, and you must feel humiliated, owing to all that you have done in that you comforted them and your own sisters, Sodom and her dependent towns, will return to their former state, and Samaria and her dependent towns will return to their former state, and you yourself and your dependent towns will return to your former state. And Sodom, your sister, did not prove to be anything worth hearing about from your mouth in the day of your pride, before your own badness got to be exposed, just as at the time of the reproach of the daughters of Syria and of all round about her, the daughters of the Philistines, those treating you with scorn on all sides, your loose conduct and your detestable things. Some manuscripts say Edom instead of Syria there. Your loose conduct and your detestable things, you yourself must bear them, is the utterance of Jehovah. For this is what the Sovereign Lord Jehovah has said. I also must do with you just as you have done, because you despised the oath in breaking my covenant. And I myself must remember my covenant with you in the days of your youth, and I must establish for you an indefinitely lasting covenant. Sounds like a reference to the new covenant, does it not? Which is in the book of Jeremiah. And you will certainly remember your ways and feel humiliated when you receive your sisters, the ones older than you, as well as the ones younger than you. And I shall certainly give them to you as daughters, but not owing to your covenant. And I myself will establish my covenant with you, and you will have to know that I am Jehovah, in order that you may remember and actually be ashamed, and you may no more come to have any reason to open your mouth because of your humiliation, when I make an atonement for you for all that you have done, is the utterance of the Sovereign Lord Jehovah. And what do you think that atonement was? Could that have been the ransom sacrifice of Jesus Christ, perhaps? That's the end of our reading of Ezekiel chapter 16, a rather long chapter. Revelation chapter 8. We've only got 4 or 5 minutes here. And when he opened the seventh seal, John writes, a silence occurred in heaven for about a half hour. And I saw the seven angels that stand before God, and seven trumpets were given them. And another angel arrived and stood at the altar, having a golden incense vessel, and a large quantity of incense was given him to offer it with the prayers of all the holy ones upon the golden altar that was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense ascended from the hand of the angel with the prayers of the holy ones before God. But right away, the angel took the incense vessel, and he filled it with some of the fire of the altar, and hurled it to the earth, and thunders occurred, and voices and lightnings, and an earthquake, and set the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow them. And the first one blew his trumpet, and there occurred a hail and fire mingled with blood, and it was hurled to the earth, and a third of the earth was burned up. And a third of the trees was burned up, and all the green vegetation was burned up. And the second angel blew his trumpet, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was hurled into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the creatures that are in the sea, which have souls, died. And a third of the boats were wrecked. And the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star, burning as a lamp, fell from heaven. and it fell upon a third of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. And a third of the waters turned into wormwood, and many of the men died from the waters because these had been made bitter. And the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and a third of the sun was smitten, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, in order that a third of them might be darkened, and the day might not have illumination for a third of it, and the night likewise. And I saw and I heard an eagle flying in mid-heaven say with a loud voice, "Woe! Woe, woe to those dwelling on the earth because of the rest of the trumpet blasts of the three angels who are about to blow their trumpets." There are seven angels. We've had four angels blowing their trumpets already. That's the end of Revelation chapter 8, which is the end of our scriptural reading for today, little ones. What else can we say now? We've got 2 minutes or so. So, that worked out time-wise about right. I think that's true. The events in Revelation are events that are prophesied to occur in the last days of the system of things, which are events that potentially could be occurring in our day. That's the idea behind the last day, although we don't know when that's going to be. I've been researching something about the things that happened in 1983, because 1913 was the end of the times of the Gentiles in the genealogy. And 70 years after that, when Israel was restored, if we consider the times of the Gentiles beginning in 608 BCE, and 70 years after that, was when they were restored back then, maybe the times of the Gentiles can be considered as beginning in, instead of in 608, in BCE 538. And if we do that, then 1983 is the end of the times of the Gentiles, interestingly. And that is fascinating because we can look at what happened in 1983. A lot of interesting things happened in that year, or quite a few things. And so I've been looking at that, just interestedly studying that. Do I have that here? What is that? What's that? Is that Wikipedia? Oh, there's Wikipedia. Not sure what that's... Oh, this might be it here. No. What's this? These are just... It's here somewhere. Where is it? Well, I have the page open. I know I do somewhere. Well, I can search here. Well, let's just duplicate one of these tabs. Oh, here it is. Maybe. No, that's the same thing I looked at. What time is it? We're out of time. Okay. Yeah, no, you can look it up in Wikipedia, the things that happened in 1983. January 8th is the date today, 2024, of the Common Era. The time is 20:37 hours Eastern Standard Time. I'm Ward Green. I love you very much, and this is my beloved wind-up chronograph, Gully. And this is my electronic watch, Cassie, on my behalf, saying bye for now.